It's not just in beer commercials that you see horses running free in the American West. They truly do run free across parts of the range and places, but they are managed by the Federal Bureau of Land Management. BLM's Wild Horse and Burro program exists in several states, Oregon and California among them. There are few federal programs that escape criticism from the public, and this is certainly not one of them. Just about any effort to put a lid on horse population gets a response, and there is a proposal to provide birth control for horses. You'll hear from managers and critics in this hour. First, the managers. Rob Sharp is the manager of Oregon's Wild Horse and Burro program. Rob, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. We're glad to be on this morning.
It's a pleasure to have you. Give us the history of the Wild Horse and Burro program. What got it started, and how long has it been going on?
Yeah, sure. So actually 2016 marks the 45th anniversary of Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service management under law of America's wild horses and burros. But prior to the law, it goes back to the 1950s. Public outcry at that time, prior to these animals being protected by the federal government, these animals were being captured and turned into commercial products, which sparked a very large outcry from the public, which led to a series of laws, first 1959, which prevented the use of motorized vehicles to capture animals on the range. But it wasn't until 1971, with the passage of the Wild, Free, Roam, and Horse and Burro Act, that placed the management of America's Mustangs into the hands of the Secretary of the Department of Interior and Department of Agriculture.
Imaginations can run wild when we say things like horses being turned into commercial products. What do you mean there?
They were being captured and sold, sent to slaughterhouses.
Okay, so definitely turning into food for some other creatures. There's a really interesting history that goes long before the Wild Horse and Burro program. These horses, now it's interesting because I had to look this up myself, but the kind of horse species that roams the West now actually did appear on the continent, but then went extinct. And so these are horses that came from where?
Actually, there's fairly good historic records dating back to the early 1500s of the first reintroduction of equines into North America from Spain, hit in modern day Mexico. And there's a variety of trails that came up into America. So it was about the early 1500s they were reintroduced to this continent.
Okay. So what is the charge to BLM under the law? What's the direction given to the Wild Horse and Burro program?
Yeah, our overarching objective contained within the law is to manage for healthy horses surviving on healthy rangelands and ecological balance with the other multiple uses of our public lands.
All right. So what's the population now of the Wild Horse and Burro program?
Yeah, you bet. So let's go back to 1971 with the passage of the act. We estimate there was approximately 25,000 free roaming horses and burros in the states that house those herds. Jump ahead to 2016, we have approximately 67 adult wild horses and burros ranging in the 10 western states across 177 herd management areas in the U.S. to date. And our BLM's appropriate management level, which is our target population, is just under 27,000 animals ranging on the HMA. So we're definitely well above our target numbers.
Okay, you said 67. I guess you were counting by thousands?
Correct, 67,000. Correct.
Okay. Wow. So you're essentially more than double what you would hope the upper limit would be.
Yes, correct.
Tell us about the proclivity of horses to reproduce themselves out on the range. It sounds quite fecund.
Absolutely. We document very high reproduction rates. Reproduction rates are not uncommon at 50 to 70% on the range. Population growth rates on a given herd management area typically average about 20% a year, which means within a 4 to 5 year period of time, that specific population of animals is doubling in population size.
Doubling every 4 to 5 years?
Correct.
Wow. That is a bunch. So how controversial is the program even in a quiet year, if you even know what a quiet year is?
Yeah, there's no such thing as a quiet year. It is very controversial. People are passionate about America's Mustangs, both those that love the idea, love seeing animals on the range, or those that view them, as, for lack of a better word, pests on the range. we live in a very, operate in a very controversial program. Everything from our methods of gathering to control populations to the application of fertility control to, you know, curtail that annual reproduction rate.
So you mentioned some people view them as pests. That's a curious thing. Tell us about who has that view.
Well, I'm not going to specify specific groups or associations, but there are, those individuals that view these free roaming horses as being a non-native invasive species, such as other feral animals that range on both our public and private lands in the United States. But then there's also a very strong belief that, indeed, some of these animals never went extinct or went extinct for such a short period of time in North America that they should be considered native wildlife.
Okay, so you get the idea of what we're talking about here with Rob Sharp, the Oregon Wild Horse and Burro Program Manager, about some of the controversies that come attached to the program. This is a conversation you're welcome to join. Here's a chance to visit with Rob about some of the aspects of the program. 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. The rate of population increase itself seems to be a bit of a controversy between BLM and other horse managing agencies, and some of the critics of the group. Is there still some dispute about what the actual numbers are?
There are. The public, we hear very regularly that, number one, our estimates on the range are way overestimated, and actually in 2013 we had a panel of researchers and scientists do an overarching review of our program, and they determine that indeed our population estimates are probably, magnitudes below what true populations are.
So then what are the consequences, and what happens when you have that many horses out on the range? I mean, are they somewhat self-limiting in terms of, do they denude the range of food and therefore a bunch of them end up dying after a while? What happens out there?
Right. You touch on a key issue there is management. What are the consequences of not managing populations? And the 10 western states where these 67,000 animals exist, it's in the arid intermountain portions of these states. Me specifically, I live in Burns, Oregon, and we receive 9 inches of annual precipitation a year. So it's very dry. And what you can run into is overpopulations converting our native vegetation to less desirable weedy species. You also can run into some pretty severe and extreme catastrophes in relation to animal health, especially during periods of drought. In Oregon, it's typically a lack of water, completely running out of adequate water to sustain these horses as part of their habitat.
Has it gotten more severe in the last 5 years than as the drought has continued?
It has. Yeah, we had, as you're probably well aware, we were pushing 4 years of continuous drought within eastern Oregon. And actually, in 2012 and again in 2014, we had to conduct unplanned emergency gathers on several herd management areas within the state due to both a lack of water and also wildfire.
All right, talk about the gathers. How often do you go out and round up horses, and what do you do with them?
Yeah, sure. So, as I mentioned earlier, population doubles in size about every 4 to 5 years, and their target populations are set to coincide for a gather or a population management event to occur about every 4 to 5 years to bring that population down to the lower end of its target level. We have two primary methods of gathering. Helicopter drive trapping is our safest and most efficient method. It's where we set up temporary panels out within the herd management area and use very highly skilled helicopters and pilots to herd these animals into a trap. From the trap, they're placed on trailers and brought to one of the BLM's numerous preparation facilities where the animal is given a health check, vaccinated. If it's a stallion, it's gelded, and then they're marked with the freeze mark and prepared for adoption. Other method that we employ is bait and water trapping. It's a passive method. Let the horses come into the trap on their own accord without the use of motorized vehicles to entice them.
How often does this go on? How often are there gathers of either type?
So about every year in the 10 western states that manage these populations. About every state is gathering a portion of their horses and burros on the range every year. In Oregon, we've been averaging anywhere from a low end of 100 animals gathered a year up to, well, we just completed a gather last fall down in Lake County where we captured 1,200 animals.
And then what happens? So you have the animals in captivity. They're placed up for adoption, correct?
Yes, correct. So we have a National Wild Horse and Burro Adoption Program where these animals are adopted out to qualified and approved horse people where they sign a contract with government to care for that animal for a one-year period of time. While that animal is at their facility, that animal remains the property of the United States government. After that one-year period passes, that animal, and we ensure humane care and the animal's in good shape, then we issue title and that animal becomes private property. And we average, in the state of Oregon and Washington, we average about 200 animals adopted out of our facility in Burns, Oregon, a year.
200 adopted in Burns a year. Out of how many rounded up?
Yeah, so that is the crux of our overpopulation issue right now. Our adoptions are covering about 20% of the animals removed from the range. And just some figures, back in 1996, our program nationally was adopting out over 9,000 animals per year. Last year, 2015, those numbers had fallen to just under 3,000 animals a year. At the same time, populations on the range are maintaining that 20% population growth rate.
So Rob Sharp is our guest in the Jefferson Exchange, the Oregon Wild Horse and Burro Program Manager for the BLM. So the adoptions have really trailed off then?
Yes, correct. Adoptions have very much curtailed to the point where we are not coming close to adopting out the number of animals that we should be gathering, removing to maintain appropriate populations on the range.
Are there fewer people interested in horses, or is it just you've reached a saturation point? You got too many adopted out already.
You know, it's a, in my opinion, it's a combination of things you just said. We saw a very steep decline beginning in about 2008 with the Great Recession that this country experienced. At the same time, there's, in my opinion, a demographic change in the interest of our population, just not as many people either interested or financially willing and capable of caring for domestic horses.
So by the numbers you gave, if you're adopting out 20% of your herd that's taken in a year, then you still have 80%, or in this case about 800 horses each year that end up in captivity. What happens?
Correct. So those horses that remain in our holding corrals and are not adopted, eventually they are transferred to what we call long-term off-the-range pastures. These are privately contracted pastures in the Midwest, you know, states like Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, with more production, tallgrass prairie-type plant communities, and they're placed on in a semi-free roaming environment for the rest of their lives. And that has that practice has provided for over 45,000 animals being cared for in some form of off-the-range pasture at a cost of about $49 million a year to the United States taxpayer.
I was going to ask you what the figure was. $49 million a year just for essentially a horse orphanage.
Correct. Yep.
Well, so I noticed that you'd said in some media reports that we've reached a tipping point with horse management. This sounds like the tipping point you're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Our off-range holding costs are consuming nearly two-thirds of the appropriations that fund the BLM Wild Horse and Burro Program each year. We've also reached a saturation point. We cannot, without a large increase in our operating budget, we cannot continue to house animals and the numbers that we do off the range, which means we cannot continue to manage populations at the appropriate level on the range. So it kind of ties right into some of the current news within the program. If our demand for our product, in this case, it's the adoption of wild horses and burros, is declining, then we need to go after the supply, which is the reproduction end of on the range reproduction to curtail the number of animals that we have to gather and remove and care for off the range to maintain appropriate numbers on the range.
All right. So this is not about necessarily, what is this about? This is not about the ones already in captivity. You already take care of the gelding of the males, but then, so what are you talking about doing here potentially?
Yeah. So our programs explored and used, put in practice, some limited population growth suppression tools, as I'm going to call them, basically tools to curtail, reduce that 20% population growth rate that we experience on average in the wild each year. One of the most common methods is a non-hormonal vaccination known as PZP, porcine zona pellucida. It comes in two forms. One form is effective for 1 year. Another form is supposed to be effective for up to 2 years. The issue being, and it works great in some places, those two vaccinations work outstanding. We've seen very reduced population growth rates, and actually population growth rates that are being reduced to the point where natural mortality rate, they're coming in almost in the balance with each other. The issue is, in the majority of our free-roaming populations, you have to capture these horses to reapply each year. Some herds you can remotely deliver. You can dart mares with the one-year variety of this vaccination. But the concept of going out every year or every 2 years and capturing and retreating, it's almost physically impossible to do in some of our large herd management areas.
All right, so I understand there's an agreement with Oregon State University to study three different methods of mare sterilization?
Yeah, so the agreement that actually our Burns District has entered into and we've issued a decision on is to conduct pen trial research at our corrals here just outside of Burns on mares that have been removed from the range, three different methods of surgically spaying or sterilizing mares as a form of permanent contraception. One of the methods is tried and true in domestic mares. It's been around for over 100 years. The issue being, though, is the excess stress load of performing this procedure on wild mares. The handling and post-operation care is obviously not the same as performing in a domestic mare. The other issue we're faced against is the majority of these mares, once gathered, are already under foal. They're pregnant. And so we don't have firm details on what does one of these procedures do to pregnancy. Do these mares abort? Do they foal successfully? What are the issues there? The other two methods are along the same lines, except they're termed minimally invasive. We're going in with endoscopes and not removing ovaries, but we are blocking the passage of sperm to contact the ovaries. So three different methods, just looking at the safety and effectiveness of the methods for mares that have been, already removed from the range.
And when does the process start, or has it?
Well, we've issued our decision here just a couple weeks ago, and like any government project, the public has a appeal period, a one-month appeal period, where they can choose to litigate or not any decision that we do, and we are currently in that 30-day appeal period, which ends the end of this month. And, depending on any future litigation, this is a controversial, very controversial project. We intend to potentially start this fall.
All right. One final question, Rob, before you go, which is the American Wild Horse Preservation Campaign, which is standing by, talks about, giving more room for the stallions and the mares to roam in the West. I mean, has that been considered by the BLM?
It has. And actually, the 1971 law that we operate under restricts our management to areas that the animals were found in 1971 when the act was passed. So the concept of just creating more public lands, making more public lands available to increase the number of these animals that can be supported on the range, number one, it's contrary to the law. Number two, biggest issue is we're not the Bureau of Wild Horse Management. We manage public lands for multiple uses. And that's a key concept that I hope people listening pick up on. Wild horse and burros, they're a component of that. However, there's a whole slew of other public land users that an excessive population of animals on the range, you know, will start redacting from that. I will say that, you know, we will always have wild horses and burros roaming free on America's public lands. But there's a caveat to that. With that comes, we will always be actively managing these populations to sustain healthy herds on healthy rangelands.
Okay. Rob Sharp is Oregon's Wild Horse and Burro Program Manager for the Bureau of Land Management. Thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thank you, Jeffrey.
You bet.